The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Discover the world's leading brands at bionic.radio.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Coming up this week on the Radio Today programme, a month or so on from Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle leaving Talk Radio. Next week, they start a new version of the late night alternative on Twitch. What is it? Why did they leave Talk Radio? And what does Ian think of the state of the UK radio industry? It's coming up later on this podcast. And in David Lloyd's Radio Moments, we've got memories of Live Aid 35 years ago on Radio 1. It's the 30th birthday of the Magic brand on UK radio. And it's 8 years this week since Chris Moyles announced his departure from the Radio 1 breakfast show. You can hear that announcement coming up in Radio Moments later.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Mikasa.
First Radio Today's Roy Martin is here. You're going to enjoy listening to Ian and Kath in a little while, Roy. Ooh. Ian has some nice controversial things to say about radio, as you would expect.
Well, I don't know. I don't normally get to hear what Ian Lee says because he's blocked me on Twitter.
Oh, is he?
So I'm looking forward to the interview. Yeah, I'm looking. I think you're blocked as well. So I'm Possibly. Looking forward to the interview so I can see what he's up to these days.
Blocking people on Twitter is a bit pointless anyway, because most people have got about 26 accounts, so they can look at your stuff if they want to, I guess. What's new with you then? How's your last couple of weeks been? Because it was round table week last week, wasn't it? You've been keeping busy. There's always news going on.
Always busy. There's always Radio Today stuff. There's always one or two other projects in the pipeline, and there's always family life to get on with. Good news is the youngest one's back at nursery, so I've got half of my life back. So that's good news. And also today, like most of the nation, I've bought a face covering for the first time.
Oh.
Now, I'm one of these that's not a big fan. I don't think anybody's a big fan of the fact that they have to exist, but I've never worn one, and I'm only going to wear one when I have to. So it's a big move. It's a big move. I mean, you're already wearing one, haven't you? I saw you earlier with one on.
I should take it off.
You've really got one on now.
Yes. Yeah, I've got a few. I've been wearing them out and about when I go into the shops and things like that. So, yeah, I'm fully supportive of the idea of not spreading my germs. And people have been saying for a long time, you should keep your mouth shut or tape it up or something. So, you know, it's progress.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely fully supportive of the idea and know exactly why, but it's just the anyway, we'll move on. There's so many people angry on Twitter about people with opinions about face masks, so we'll not go there.
I've got my funky mask with my retro radios on as well. I haven't seen any radio station branded masks, but I know some of the promotional companies are selling them. You can get your own logo printed on masks, so maybe one of the big brands might do that. I don't know.
That's what I was going to talk about, actually. I got an email from hotline.co.uk who do some of our promotional printing. Like every week they send an email, which usually gets deleted. But one arrived yesterday with logos on, and I thought, why haven't I seen any for radio stations yet? Surely you'd love heart on your mouth or something like that.
Yeah, I don't
know. Get it done.
Yeah, maybe. Let's see. Let's see whether that happens or not. But I'm not sure the brand association is quite there, really, is it? But, you know, car stickers and little bugs and things, I get those. But maybe a lockdown mask, I don't know.
But if you give them away, it's free advertising, isn't it? Especially if everybody's wearing them.
Yeah. Are you going to walk around with, you know, Absolute Radio 80s on your mouth, though, on your face? It's one thing to have a T-shirt or a mug or a pen.
Some people will.
Yeah, true. There was somebody at a competition once got a radio station logo tattooed on them, I think, didn't they? So stranger things have happened. So industry stuff going on at the moment. Greatest hits radio is kind of phasing in, moves on apace. Lots of stations this week started taking Mark Goodyear and Andy Crane and Rossi, Rick Horton and Alex Lester. So on the former wireless stations and Cellador stations that are going to turn into Greatest Hits Radio in a couple of months' time, all they've got left is a local breakfast show, and a lot of people have been decrying that moment.
I know, and it sounds good as a radio station, but there's one thing they do. They've got a terrible idea that they execute really badly. And do you know what I'm going to say?
No, I don't. What don't you like, Roy? Come on, get it off your chest.
It's the I'm sorry if they're listening, but it's that bit at the beginning of the link that's pre-recorded, and then the presenter comes in live off the back of it. that just doesn't. I mean, some people have. I mean, Mike Tulin does it quite well, but almost everybody else, they record that 3 months ago as a voiceover. It's the breeze, and then they go into you know, jock mode, and it just sounds terrible. If they can get rid of that, then I think they'll be successful. That's my top tip of the week.
Well, there'd be a lot of split links to record if they had to do every single split link separately, I guess. But I haven't heard that much of it. I heard a couple of Andy Crane's links on Monday. Hello, Andy. I know he's a listener to the Radio Today programme. I thought his split links with the split station bit, the ones that I heard, sounded fine. So I'm not complaining about that, just for the record. Especially right. If Andy's listening. I heard a couple of his and they were all right. I haven't heard any of the other presenters doing it, though, I must say.
Well, maybe it's just a couple, but if they can sort, I mean, it's not a long-term thing because they're quite rightly rebranding it all so they don't have this problem, but there will still be a few stations with different names. So if they could work out a different, you know, format, then, you know, that'd be fantastic. Thanks very much. Thanks for that.
The other groups then, UKID and Lynx, so they're not taking these new network kind of halfway house shows yet, but they have made some changes to their playlists. So all the current music has gone. Station positioning has changed. So they're saying playing the greatest hits. And they're starting to put on some of the features as well, like the top 10 at 10, but no major presenter changes. I'm hearing at one of the groups, the presenters have been told they're staying right up till the end of August as well. So we'll see how that one pans out. And next week, Pulse One and Signal One will follow as they take Hits Radio programmes. Of course, they're not changing their name. They're staying as Pulse One and Signal One, but they'll move to just being Local Breakfast from Monday next week. All the rest of the output will be from the Hits Radio Network Centre at Castle Quay.
So what about Fire Radio in Bournemouth? Is that going to be breakfast only from next week?
I don't think they've announced the plans for that. It wasn't on the list, was it? So as far as I'm aware, Fire isn't changing as yet. I'm guessing its playlist might be realigning with the Hits Radio brand if it hasn't already. But you live there. Have you not been listening?
I've not listened. I've been listening to The Breeze South, which is becoming Hits. So one Breeze is going oldies.
Greatest Hits.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, yeah, I see. I'm confused.
One Breeze is becoming Greatest Hits, and the other in the South, in Portsmouth, in Southampton, Winchester, is becoming Hits Radio. So they've got a very bizarre playlist at the moment. So it's all over the place at the moment. So I've not had a chance to listen to Fire. So I might do that, and then I'll be able to answer my own question.
And Greatest Hits Radio is coming to the South Coast as well, but that's going to be on what is currently Sam FM, which was originally Original. Yeah, is the 106 license? Is it for the Solent?
Originally Original, it was. Yeah,
and then it was Coast, and then it was Jack, and now it's Sam, and it's going to be Greatest Hits, not Hits. Okay,
yeah,
I think I'm following.
Yeah, which will make it compete against Wave, which is kind of a hybrid of Hits and Greatest Hits.
Right. Okay.
So on the South Coast, we'll have Hits, Greatest Hits, and Wave. And is that it? Or is there another one?
Okay.
I think that's it.
Yeah, well, that's clear as. And talking of which, Sam FM is obviously Nation-owned, and they're going to put Greatest Hits on under a brand license with Bauer, and that's now allowed to change its format because Ofcom have just said yes to that.
That's right, yeah. Format change for Sam FM South Coast. They've basically just tweaked it so they don't have to play as many album tracks and classic rock, paving the way for it to become Greatest Hits Radio, of course.
And while we're on the format change news, what's going on in Guernsey and Jersey? So a couple of very popular stations there, and Ofcom have said they can share everything if they want.
Yeah, so this was a format request put in by the station back at the beginning of lockdown, and all it does really is give them the okay to do what every other radio station in the UK can do, and that is to co-locate if they want to and share all their programmes if they want to. Now, we've been in touch with them, as we usually do when this kind of thing pops up, and they've said that they've no plans to change anything, and I, for one, believe them. I mean, they are sharing an afternoon show or something at the moment, just temporarily, which may or may not become permanent, but as far as stations located on their own islands, that's going to stay the same. They just wanted to have that in the format just in case. And it all seems above board. So, yeah, nothing to see here. Move on, move along.
This is Island FM and Channel 103, by the way, if you hadn't kind of guessed what we were talking about there. Some other exciting news this week is this campaign from John Lewis and Digital Radio UK promoting all the big choice of stations that there are on digital radio. I watched the video. It's very nice and shiny.
Yeah, and it's good to promote digital radio in such a large retailer as John Lewis. And it's all driven by Digital Radio UK, of course, behind this. So good on them. And let's hope maybe a few more stores will follow suit.
Yeah, BBC, Global, Bauer and Wireless Stations among those all coming together. Whether they've actually worked together on it or not, I doubt it. But their presenters are all included in the promotional video from across the different stations and brands. The British Podcast Awards took place on Saturday night. Big winners were Podcast of the Year, Brown Girls Do It Too, the Lister Choice Award winner, Shagged, Married, Annoyed with Chris and Rosie Ramsey. You can find a full list of all the winners at radiotoday.co.uk. Chris Moyles wasn't among the winners, though.
They cut to like a camera outside the winner's house and they were knocking on the door to give the winner their award. And I'm like, well, I'm out for dinner. So we've clearly not won.
But you know, I was texting Pippa and realised that, Pip, have you been asked for your address? No.
Okay.
Have you? No.
But then here's the weirdest thing. They wanted all the nominees on camera.
Yeah.
Right? I wasn't asked.
No.
As far as I'm aware. So I'm thinking, well, we're not even going to be on for the nominees. Yeah. So the nominees, there's Pippa sitting there, and I'm like, oh, okay. But we clearly haven't won.
No, we were never in the running, it would appear.
What's the point?
Yeah. What's the point of that?
What's the point?
Yeah. How did Fun Kids Radio do? Did they win like the best overall podcast?
No.
Did they not?
No.
Oh.
Now, who runs Fun Kids?
Oh, I can't remember.
Who's that, Matt? Matt Deegan.
Matt Deegan. And who started off the British Podcast Awards?
One of the founders was Matt Deegan.
Matt Deegan, that's right, yeah. That sounds fair. Fair. Sounds fair enough to me. Sounds very, very fair. Very, very fair.
Save it for the podcast. I don't want a bad, naughty word.
I'm doing the Dominic Byrne Awards next year, by the way.
Are you?
Yeah, I've won everything.
Are you nominated?
I'm excellent.
Six nominees, three awards. What do we get? Shuffle! Nothing! Naffle! And to make it look fair, Santa Daily didn't get anything either.
Oh, good. Wait,
which is a weird thing because it's made by the people who run the awards! They're so dumb, they don't even give themselves an award! If I did an awards ceremony and I got nominated, I'd win!
Yeah, every time.
You know, the man talks sense most of the time, and this is something we said to each other on either Saturday night or Sunday morning, that's a bit obvious that if you've not already done a pre-record with them, then what's the point in sat there all night wondering whether you're going to get a knock at the door in broad daylight that was recorded a week ago? Because you know, you've not won.
Were they recorded a week ago, or were they actually live? I didn't know. I couldn't work out. I didn't get a chance to watch it on Saturday, but I've seen a couple of clips. I didn't know whether they actually did turn up live at people's houses or whether that was all staged or what. I don't know.
Nah.
The whole thing was a pre-record. It was a voice tract. It was all a voice tract.
Okay.
They had... if you read Matt's blog about it, they had like 3 months to do it, and during that time, they did the recording of the winners. They went around all their houses. So yeah, a bit of an odd thing to do. They won't get away with it next year because they'll know if they've not had a pre-record, they're not going to win. Hopefully, they can have an actual event next year.
I know you're a massive fan of awards ceremonies as well. So yeah, there we go.
I hate awards. I really do.
Let's move on to something else. We put a story on radio today about a new book from David Hamilton. It's called Commercial Radio Days, described as a roller coaster ride through 30 years of takeovers, mergers and closures. Looks quite an interesting tale. And Ian Dale has a new book coming out as well. It's called Why Can't We All Just Get Along? Shout Less, Listen More. It's kind of part memoirs, part look at the state of public discourse in the world today. Looks quite good. A preview copy actually landed through my letterbox this week, so I'll try and read that and report back. It's out to buy from the 6th of August. I particularly like the graphic design on the front cover. It's very good. Look it up. Mm. Some Move news. We told you a month or so ago about Michael Carr leaving Five Live. He's now being replaced as editor of Five Live Sport by Louise Sutton. She was previously at Five Live, went off to work for an indie, then came back to the BBC. She's been running Football Focus on BBC One. So from the 1st of September, she's back at Five Live, overseeing sports output across the station's radio and podcasts. Have you got some more Move news there?
I have, actually, since we were last on. There's been quite a bit, so we'll see if we can mention them all. Samantha Moy, she's been named new head of station at Six Music. She moves up from the network editor role at the station. She was previously an executive producer at Radio 2, and before that she worked across various programmes on Radio 1, including Grace Moyles. Yeah. And just the one extra head of station still to be appointed now, because they've been doing them all over the last few weeks, haven't they?
Mm. And so former Chris Moyle Show team members, Ben Cooper was the controller, and then Allard Hayden-Jones is now essentially the head of station at Radio 1, and now Sam, who worked on the Chris Moyle Show, is head of Six Music.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Good career path. some other stuff to tell you about. Owenna Griffiths named new editor of the Today programme, Radio 4. She replaces Sarah Sands, who's leaving. Owenna currently in charge of PM and BH on Radio 4.
Yep, and Ian Collins has left BBC Radio Kent. This was a few weeks ago. He's been doing breakfast show there for the last 600 years. I know it's more like 20 months. Not long at all, is it? 20 months. He's also been doing talk radio afternoons recently. Matthew Wright, you may remember, exited stage left. A few months ago, and Ian's been doing that gig ever since. And if you listen to it, he's got his own jingles and everything, so it sounds like he's there to stay.
Got his own jingles, wow. And Scott Robinson has been hired by Radio Essex. I don't think that's the Scott Robinson who was in Neighbours, is it? It's a different Scott Robinson. It's the guy who was in the boy band Five. Of course, if you know your late 90s, early noughties music, you will have known Scott Robinson was in Five. Anyway, he's now joining Chris Brooks on Drive Time on Radio Essex, which is owned by Adventure. And yeah, there we are. Interesting.
And a few people asking us, they thought that the BBC local radio stations weren't doing double headers anymore.
No, this is not BBC Radio Essex. This is Radio Essex. Well, it's BBC Essex in Essex, isn't it? And Radio Essex is the non-BBC station, yes.
Yeah, so getting confused. Probably the only place where a commercial radio station has the BBC-style name. Apart from in Wales, there's a few in Wales, but that's an interesting pub quiz question.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, Radio Tees was originally Radio Tees. It's now TFM.
Yeah.
Obviously part of Metro, but that kind of worked in the same way, didn't it? But send your answers on a postcard if you can think of another area where there's a commercial station that actually sounds like it should be a BBC station. Right, that's it. Should we get on with the main bit of the show? Ian and Kath are on the way. You're going to really enjoy them, and we'll talk to you next week, Roy.
All right, cheers. And hope Ian is listening to this and finds it in his heart to unblock us on Twitter.
I don't care. I'm happy to stay blocked.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Radio Today. Next on the Radio Today programme, following their departure from Talk Radio last month after 4 years, Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle have announced they're joining Twitch to do a new nightly show. It starts next week, and they're both with us on the podcast this week. Hello.
Hi, Stuart.
Hello.
Ah, this is exciting. So we'll come to Twitch and this new show in a minute, but let's get the past out of the way first.
Yes.
I think the last time I spoke to you both was in a tiny sweaty room at the Palladium after you just picked up your ARIA for Best Radio Moment. And I think you told me on this very podcast that you genuinely didn't know what was happening with your contract. Well, now we know, and they've not given you one.
You spoke to us just after we'd won an award, and just before we couldn't find our coats or our bags or anybody that we knew. We went back out into the Palladium. Everyone had gone. And we got locked in.
We came out and they'd started putting the chairs up.
And we got told off for being in the building still. We genuinely got shouted at.
Kicked out.
Yeah, no, we didn't know what was happening. When was that? That was the end of March. And then jump forward a couple of months. And, you know, I get a phone call on a Monday saying, thanks very much, don't come back in. That's kind of the industry, you know, that's how radio works. We all know that very rarely. Here's the thing that really disappointed me is I was told, I think on a Monday or a Tuesday, I think it was a Tuesday, that we're done and we're not renewing your contract and we're not going to let you go back on air. And that really hurt. And I was given the opportunity to phone up one of my bosses and plead or you know, try and persuade him to let me go back on and do a goodbye show. And I just thought, nah, if after 4 years, you know, of what we have made, they don't trust me to go on, then I'm not going to phone up and beg to do my last show. But it was heartbreaking, actually. It was heartbreaking. I was really disappointed. It turns out awards mean nothing. Awards and listeners mean nothing in this industry.
Yeah, and Catherine, you were obviously as much a part of the show as Ian was, even though his name was over the door, if you like. And, you know, him not having his contract renewed means the same for you, I guess.
No, not at all. They wanted me to stay.
Ah, okay. But you didn't want to.
I didn't, but finances were difficult for me. And so I was caught between feeling like I should go and wondering what the hell I was going to do during a pandemic to keep money coming in. Thankfully, I was given some time to think stuff over. Talk radio were good that way because they knew, I think it'd come as a big shock, and they knew that we were very proud of what we built and it wasn't just a matter of, okay, next presenter for me. So they gave me some time to think it over, and thankfully, during that time, the Twitch deal came through and I had options. I'd said I'd go back and give things a go. So I did one last show because I said I would, and I didn't feel like I'd given them enough notice to sort someone else out.
But it was as a producer, wasn't it, Catherine?
Was.
They didn't want you on air. They wanted you back in the production.
Well, if I was going to go on air, it was with, you know, it would be difficult for the person taking over. Our fan base is very loyal. I was worried that if I were to speak on air, it would detract from what he was trying to do and it wasn't fair to him. So I kind of said to him, look, I know they don't want me on air as much. I don't think I should be on air at all, at least in the first instance. So I wasn't going to speak really for the first whatever it was, you know, while they started things through. And it was kind of suggested to me that whatever, you know, situation we were going to be working in wouldn't be forever anyway. It was just, you know, because of the weird times, you know, whether that meant the pandemic or whether it meant, you know, the after Ian times. But I was kind of glad that the resignation letter I'd put in my drafts in the hope that something else came along was able to be sent after that first show that I did when I went back, because it's not the sort of radio I do. And I just feel like what they were asking from me was pretty much what I'd done when I was 25. And I'm a bit older than that now.
Quite a bit older than that.
And Ian, you stayed a couple of years longer than some of those original shows on the Talk Radio lineup. But what was it that got that second contract for you? Was it The Jungle?
The Jungle. Definitely The Jungle. The contract negotiations, renegotiations were happening when I was in The Jungle. And, you know, I came third. I'd gone in there for three reasons. And one of them was to say in front of 15 million people, I'm doing a radio show, because, you know, the station weren't doing any advertising. So it was without a doubt The Jungle got me another 2 years at Talk Radio.
And the rest of the station then ended up quite different to you and your show and what you were doing, because there weren't people like John Holmes and Jake Yap and people like that on it anymore.
Well, everyone got either booted off or shifted around. And that was kind of, when we'd been given the original gig 4.5 years ago, just under 4.5 years ago, we were told that they didn't want a news station. It wasn't going to be LBC Light. It was, they wanted personality. The way they sold it to me was they wanted George Galloway hosting a show talking about Big Brother and reality TV. That was what they wanted. And we kind of fitted into that a bit. But yes, at the 2 year mark, it changed. It changed by the very nature of the breakfast show being taken over by Julia, you know, who is, I would say, very right wing. And it is not that that's a bad thing. You know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But there is a certain tone that I think that show conveys. which is the complete antithesis of what Catherine and I were doing. And over those last 2 years, it moved away from being that chatty, friendly, come and, you know, sit with us, to being let's leave Europe radio station. You know, it became very right wing, and we stuck out as the show hippie, the station's hippies, you know. And I still don't know. I honestly don't know why they got rid of us, though, because we did. We're the only ones that won awards. We had 3 million downloads of the podcast last year. And that's the problem. If I start thinking about it, I start getting really upset, because I cannot, apart from the politics thing, I cannot understand why they let us go. It feels, it's unfathomable to me.
I think the politics thing is the beginning and end of it, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But it's hard, isn't it, though, Catherine? Not to take it personally, because a phone-in show is about the personality of the host or hosts. Yeah. So you kind of, I do take it personally.
And you did a lot of things that you can be proud of over that time, though, particularly like the call that won you the awards, and you know, some of the other helpful things that you've done for your listeners over the period.
Yeah, we were really proud of that show, weren't we?
Oh, God, yeah. And I think that lockdown made that show as well. I think we were doing some of the most important radio we've ever done, particularly for the first couple of months of lockdown, when everyone was terrified. You know, people were terrified. And we did a show where we didn't really talk about COVID unless someone phoned up to share their story about it. We, you know, Danny Baker did a brilliant tweet about, you know, during World War II, radio there was, it wasn't all about the war. That was when they needed entertainment and a bloody good laugh. And that's what we were trying to do then.
And the news that you were leaving got quite a big reaction. Jeremy Vine, amongst others in radio, tweeting about you. But then, you know, you expected you might get some offers to go somewhere else. Why do you think that hasn't happened in terms of a radio station offer?
I didn't expect any offers. Everyone else expected offers. I never expected an offer, because people see me as a troublemaker and a maverick. And I'm not. Me and Catherine together have never had an Ofcom upheld against us, because we know the rules. We play by the rules. We just make it sound like we're outside the rules. We would get Ofcom complaints all the time. And we never had one upheld, because we know what we're doing. You know, we're the safest pair of hands. So, no, I didn't expect to get any offers. I had every, you know, 2 and 5 and 6 all said, we love Ian. We think he's great. We just don't have space for him in our schedule, which is a very polite way of saying get. That's what I expected, and that's what
yeah, happened. It's always when we go to arias or industry things, and it's not very often, but the reception we get.
Do you say arias? I say arias.
I say arias. Oh, well, I'm from the north. Well, Catherine's from the north. You should say arias.
Yeah. Well, maybe I don't know my arias from my elbow.
Arias.
Whenever we go to these things, you know, the reception we get from other people is like, you know, there's a bit of, you know, people like what we do, and it's almost, you know, thank God someone's doing something different. But at the same time, the bosses are still the ones that are going, yeah, but not on our station.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose it's whether there's an outlet. And both of you obviously worked in local radio, Catherine for a bit longer, yeah. I think at BBC local radio, lots of changes and you know, schedule changes and people losing jobs there. So that, you know, there isn't the space in BBC local radio for people like you to do shows like you do anymore.
Yeah, yeah, it's really sad what's going on with local radio. I've still got quite a lot of friends that still work there, and it's being trimmed down almost to the point where you kind of wonder what, you know, whether there's any further fat to trim off it. It'll go, I suspect.
Well, and I'm not going to mention any names, but I know, and Catherine, we both know so many people in local BBC local radio that aren't very good, but have just been there for a very, very long time, and they're safe, and there's almost, you know, an entitlement to those kind of jobs, and being on the radio is a gift, and it is a, you know, a privilege. And there are some people, not necessarily at Three Counties, you know, I don't want to focus on that, but having listened to speech to local radio throughout the years, there are some people that are just rubbish. I think I can be as rude as that, because I'm not in the radio industry anymore. But they're just safe. And I've seen the radar figures for some of these people, and it's almost nothing.
Well, they haven't. That's the problem, isn't it?
They don't see them. When I moved to Three Counties from Absolute, I kept asking to see the radars, and it took 9 months, I think, before I was shown a set of radars, because the bosses didn't know They didn't want to share the information. Why do you want to see it? Well, so I can see if we're close to doing anything. But no, you don't want to see it. It's not important for you to see it. And I really had to fight to get a breakdown.
And yet, do you remember when we did? There was a drop off, wasn't there? Just after 8:30, and they said, "Oh, well, that's just traditional. That's what always happens." And I went, "Right, well, can I try something different?" As it makes no difference at all.
And we fixed it.
And we made sure that we had something, you know, to plough through that kind of drop in, you know, to tempt people to keep listening. And it worked. So, you know, sometimes seeing the graphs is quite helpful. You know, otherwise, what is there to aim for?
Who knew? Well, talking of seeing the graphs and the data, obviously when you're live online, you know, you get that instantly and know how many people are watching or listening to you. So
terrifying.
Twitch, tell us what it is for anybody who doesn't know. It's kind of born out of gaming, is that right?
Interesting enough, you mentioned Jeremy Vine tweeting. This is how I got the gig. Jeremy Vine, who I don't really know, but has always been very supportive of me, tweeted, "Good luck." Someone from Twitch saw that, checked me out, saw that I'd been streaming a little bit for the last 18 months, but not seriously, and phoned up and said, "Would you like to bring your show over?" And for those who don't know, very simply, and Twitch will hate me for saying this, but it's a really handy shorthand, Twitch is like a more interactive version of YouTube, basically. And it is predominantly, it's been going for years, and a small number of people can make millions of dollars on there, right? We're way off that, but we can dream. And it has been used traditionally for people to stream video games. But if you dig a little bit deeper and scratch a little bit beneath the surface, you will find people playing music. You will find people watching my friend Pete buys old VHS tapes off of eBay and watches them live on stream and gets a really decent audience. It's great for doing live stuff, which YouTube is not so great for. But what is even more attractive is you can monetize it really easily. Even if you're quite small, you can still make a few quid off it because people can subscribe to you, or they can throw you bits, which is kind of like chucking a few coins in the hat. But yeah, there is that terrifying thing of you get in real time the numbers of the people that are listening to you. And when you see those numbers drop, as they do, you can't help but think, "Oh my God, how can we get those? Right, we've just lost 150 people. What can we say to get them? Oh my God, it's dropping even more. This is awful." So it's not good for neurotics like me, I'm afraid.
It works the other way, I suppose, as well. You can see the audience going up at the same time.
Yeah, and then you think, "God, what have I said?"
We did a test last week. I've done 4 test shows just to get my head around the technology because it's a little bit more involved than I've used. And on Friday's show, we announced that Catherine was joining me. All of this happened 6 months ago, I was getting maybe 150 viewers on Twitch, very happy with it. The last couple of tests, I was getting about 600 on Twitch, which I was very happy with. And then the show on Friday, we just got shy of 3,000 viewers, which is starting to get into serious numbers. And Catherine, we had people from all over the world, didn't we?
Calling yeah, we did.
You had the hot guy from Brazil.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, Sao Paulo. How long does it take to get there? Sao Paulo, we spoke to. Before that, you'd spoken to a lovely caller from Washington State who wanted to talk about her experience as a native, not a Native American, mind you, because she was there first. And I just find it really... We often sort of spoke, didn't we, after a good talk radio show, and Ian would say to me, "Oh, God, imagine if people knew we were here." The painting, you know, he looks at the colours as sort of colours in a paint palette. The different colours we would get of different shades and tones that we could use to make a really great show. It feels like someone's opened the window and let people know that we're there. And I'm really excited about what this is going to bring.
I guess the thing with traditional broadcast radio is that people might stumble across you and thought, "Oh, this is interesting, I'll listen to that." Yes. It's harder for them to do that on a platform like Twitch. So the marketing will be key.
That was my great concern, is I do miss those people that were flicking through, talk radio, and they hear our show and they would expect it. They would phone up, you know, expecting to put forward a slightly silly argument and we would take them apart because, you know, we did that unlike some other shows. But as we found out on Friday, there is a different audience out there that is kind of flicking through Twitch. I have to say this as well. This is really important. I'm really grateful for Talk Radio for letting me work there and play there for 4 years. The last 8 months, actually, were really unenjoyable because we got suspended for something, and it became quite apparent that there were some people there who didn't like us. So the last 8 months was uncomfortable, but for 4 years they fed my kids, they paid my mortgage, and you know it was a joy. It really was. I'm very grateful for that. But Twitch has already, in the fact that we're talking to you, we spoke to The Guardian, it's already done more in the last week in terms of publicising this show than Talk did. And I got to apologise, I'm on holiday with my kids, and you might be able to hear some noise in the background. That's my kids watching Twitch in the next room, you know, because they love it. And now I'm a professional streamer. Oh, my God, Daddy's cool again. But it is, it's true. But it is, I forgot what my point was, so I'm going to stop talking. Thank you very much.
Oh, there is an audience out there. And also, we won't just be on Twitch, you see, because we've got this agreement with Twitch that means that we will be able to put our show onto YouTube after 48 hours. And we'll also be able to podcast the best bits. So there's all different ways you can pick us up.
And I think the other key thing in this is that it's a partnership between you two. It's not Ian, the presenter, and Catherine, the producer. You're going in this together.
Yeah, that's a completely new experience for me. It is, and it's do you know what? It feels really freeing because, you know, when I was working at Three Counties, I was a presenter for a while. I presented my own shows and I did different things.
I want to hear your gardening show you did. I want some, if anyone's got any tapes of the gardening show.
Oh, the gardening show was hilarious.
I need to hear that.
I'd been hired as the Milton Keynes district reporter straight out of journalism school, and pretty much straight out of journalism school. I did work one other place beforehand. Heroid FM in Greater Peterborough.
Ah, yes, I worked there as well.
And it was a great place to sort of learn on your feet because you had to do everything. You were a one-woman band, and I've kind of maintained that since leaving there. So I went to Three Counties, and on a Thursday afternoon, the programme controller, Mark Norman, came up to me and said, "What are you doing Sunday?" I said, "Nothing, I'm not busy." He said, "Right, you're doing the gardening show." I said, "Well, I haven't got a garden and I don't know how to drive the desk." He went, "Well, you've got a few days." And I did it. I did it on a Sunday. And I took over, and despite the fact I didn't have a garden, I made that a really successful show because what we discovered was if you get the right gardeners on, it's really not that much about gardening, a bit more about having a laugh. And then, you know, the gardening questions will come, but it was a good listen for people who weren't that interested in gardening as well. So, you know, having the show on paper that they want and being able to fly something over the top is something I kind of developed from quite early on. And then, of course, you know, Ian Lee comes along and we get to really play.
But I don't know, in terms of this Twitch show, and we're calling it the Late Night Alternative, and Talk have let us have that title, which is very kind of them. I don't know what it is. It's not a radio show. It's not a TV show. We haven't quite found the language for it yet. And it's going to start off sounding like the radio show because that's what we've been doing for the past 4 years. But in 6 months, it could end up anywhere. And it breaks my heart, but I genuinely think I've done my last radio show. And I think I'm going to say this because I'm out of the industry, and in 3 years I plan to be out of, inverted commas, show business. I'm retraining and everything. I think the British radio industry is in a really poor state. It's too white, it's too male, it's too much reliant on we're going to get two people on to have a really obnoxious argument and then we're going to get take phone calls on it. It stirs the pot and creates fear too much. I think some of the presenters are just too mean. There are a handful, Jonathan Vernon Smith, James O'Brien, Daryl Morris, there are a handful of presenters that where their heart kind of comes through. Alan Bezick, who I've only just discovered, and shame on me because he's been around forever. There are a handful of people. Again, they're all white men that I've listed. A handful of people that have got heart and are not afraid to show a little bit of themselves to help the listener share their story. And it's a dying trend.
Yeah.
Go on, Kat.
I was going to say, and all those people, remember that it's about entertaining as well as all the other stuff. It's not just about riling people up. It's entertaining people. It's about keeping them company. It's about being the person that they want to speak to when their friends aren't picking up the phone. You know, I think otherwise, radio by numbers. Okay, I'm going to get that person on who's got a really vile point of view, and I'm going to get someone on from the other side, and then we'll let them go. I mean, it's exhausting, isn't it? So, I do worry that that's the way it's going, and it doesn't seem to be changing anytime soon.
And I know, Ian, you're going to college and you're going to learn to be a counsellor, is that right?
That's the plan. I have, at the end of this month, I have a 4-day intensive course to get my level 2 certificate. And then I'm quite prepared at the end of the 4 days to go, well, I didn't really enjoy that and I'm out. But the plan would then be, if I do enjoy it, and I really think I will, is to start this September a two-year diploma. And the plan, don't hold me to this for God's sakes, because if we do become Twitch millionaires, I'm sticking around. But the plan in my head at the moment is in 3 years is to be out of this business. And that breaks my heart because, you know, I toured a show for 2 years saying how much I loved radio, and I don't. It's burnt my fingers too many times, and I think it's dying on its arse.
It's a real shame to hear you saying that. Just on the technical side of Twitch, I know you're not very technical, Kev, but obviously,
how dare
heard
you?
A rumor.
How dare you?
Just get around already.
But obviously, you know, Twitch doesn't have a building, a studio that you're going to go into like a radio station you've been going into for the last however many years. So
no.
You've been doing the shows from home on Talk Radio anyway during lockdown, but this is all you tech-wise. You just stream to their servers, yeah?
It's me, and I'm not very good tech-wise, and that's brilliant because that's, you know...
But he's a trier.
People get disappointed if there is no tech failure. This is what we came for, Ian Lee swearing at a computer. But I do think one of the great things about lockdown was, and there were some great things about it, is that I really think this could be the death of the kind of the radio studio. I've been doing voiceovers for adverts at home. We were doing the radio show. It just shows that with, you know, with a decent microphone and a decent internet, you can, it doesn't sound any different from a £500,000 studio. So I think hopefully this will give a bit of freedom to the industry.
Yeah, we should probably point out that he's not using the equipment we'll be using for Twitch right now. You're in the middle of nowhere using a computer.
Oh, no, it's going to sound better than this. I'm in the woods with my laptop. That sounds really dodgy. I'm on a holiday. No, let's... I'm in a cabin in the woods. It sounds awful. I'll stop.
But, I mean, obviously you're streaming video as well, and looking at your tests that you've been doing from last week, the quality of that is really good. I was actually surprised how good quality it seems.
I can tell you it's 1080p at 60 frames a second, thanks to my Panasonic Lumix GH5. I bought some decent mics and a mixer when we ended up doing the radio show from home, so I had that, and I've spoken to Panasonic. I got in touch with Panasonic. They very kindly gave me this camera to try it out, and it's
sounding like Alan Partridge now.
I know it does. But Live and Let Die really is a great song, and Wings are the band the Beatles could have been. but this is the joy. We are the freedom is incredible. Twitch have given us a list of a few things they don't really want us to be associated with, you know, and it's really obvious stuff. The freedom is incredible. The fact that it is me and Catherine on equal billing is wonderful. And genuinely, I think in 6 months' time, this show is going to be somewhere completely different. It's going to be something the two of us cannot even conceive at the moment as it evolves and as it grows. So it's got to be worth a punt. Or we could just die terribly on our backsides and look like idiots. That's got to be worth watching as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, tune in Monday to Friday, 9 till midnight from next Monday at twitch.tv/IanLee if anybody wants to give it a watch.
That's it. It's free. It's free. It's free as well. If you want to join in the chat, you just create an account and that's easy. If you just want to watch, you can just watch. You don't have to pay. So, you know, it's come along and join in. Hopefully it'll be a laugh.
Good to chat to you. Good luck with it both.
Thanks very much, Stuart.
Hey, thank you so much for the time. Genuinely, we really appreciate it. So thank you very much.
Ian Lee and Kath Boyle here on the Radio Today programme. Still to come, we've got David Lloyd's Radio Moments. If maybe you are heading back into your studio and some people are not, you might be still looking for a solution to sort out the technicals and get them connected in to the station. CleanFeed is one such product that might be able to help you out. Head to cleanfeed.net to find out more about it. It's great for OBs, interviews with guests for your show or podcast, or as I say, doing some co-hosting from a remote location. It's been designed for radio people and for podcasters. It's really simple to use and connect, and the quality is pretty decent as well, all via your browser. There is a completely free version that you can use with no limits, won't cost you anything at all, or you can sign up for some extra features and pay them some money. Find out more about it at cleanfeed.net.
Radio Moment.
Newsreaders often say their names at the start of bulletins these days.
At 1 o'clock, here's Alex Worsett.
That's the latest from Brian Dilks.
From Global's newsroom, I'm Thomas Watt.
The BBC News is read by Zeb Sims.
Then with the BBC News at midday, this is Jason Kay.
Geraint Wynne is here with the news at 1 o'clock.
From Global's newsroom, I'm Josh Key.
Alex here with the latest.
And that practice started this week. 80 years ago, Frank Phillips on the BBC became the first reader to identify himself. The thinking was that in wartime, and this was 1940, listeners, and I quote here, must be able to recognise instantly the authentic voice of BBC broadcasting.
This is the BBC Home Service. Here is the midnight news. The election. With only 13 results to come, 12 of them university seats, it is now certain that Labour will have a majority of more than 130 over all parties.
Frank Phillips, who was the first newsreader to use his name this week in 1940. And the reason you can't hear him doing it in that clip was because that was 1945. And the BBC actually, after the war, stopped saying who they were. And they started it again, I think, in the early 60s. Is it really 35 years since this?
It's 12 noon in London, 7 a.m. in Philadelphia. And around the world, it's time for Live Aid. Wembley welcomes their Royal Highnesses, the Prince and Princess of Wales.
So this was the intro to what we were thinking then might be the biggest television programme ever. And I've got, you know, seconds to write something. So my mind went back to the old days of two-way family favourites on the radio in the 1960s. And it used to start... It's 12 o'clock in London, 1 o'clock in Cologne, Germany, and at home and away, it's time for two-way family favourites. So I grabbed this pad of paper and I wrote on it, it's 12 noon in London, 7 a.m. in Philadelphia, and around the world, it's time for Live Aid, blah de blah de blah. And I just gave it to Richard, and just as he started to speak, they switched the big PA on. So when he got to roughly, and around the world, suddenly we're shaking with the sound, just the sound of the PA filling the stadium, and he bashes on, and we looked at one another, and then we looked downstairs, and there was Tommy Vance introducing Status Quo, and we fell into each other's arms and cried. It was really an extremely emotional moment.
Trevor Dan telling the story of Richard Skinner's first words as Live Aid began this week in 1985. It's 30 years this week since commercial radio doubled in Leeds as Radio Air became Air FM and across on AM the new Magic 8-8, beginning with the voice of John Myers.
It's 8:28 across West Yorkshire, and it's here. The all-time great music station, Magic 8-8. Ray Stroud, Peter Tate, Mike Vitti, Alex Hall, Johnny Moran, Noddy Holder, David Hamilton, and Roger Kirk.
Good morning, good morning. It's here, it's the big day. It's 28 minutes past 8. I'm Roger Kirk, and welcome to our brand new radio station.
The first 2 years went badly from a financial perspective because we were obviously trying to launch Magic against a very challenging backdrop. The latter 2 years, the revenue roared back in 92, 93, 94. And in the end, I think at the point I left, we were just about to announce Radio Air's first ever profit, which was phenomenal considering the station had launched in the early 80s.
Phil Riley reflecting on his days as MD in Leeds, launching Magic 8-8, which began this week in 1990. It was to become larger in audiences than its FM counterpart. This week last year, a new breakfast show on Hits Radio.
It is 12 minutes past 6. It's Hits Radio Breakfast with Fleur, East Greg and James, and it is now with Fleur.
Woo!
Welcome to the studio.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, you know, the bosses did say that I should make an entrance, so I had to deliver.
So nice of you to join us, Fleur. Are you going to do some work now?
Yeah, well, obviously. So I'm really excited about the new
Hold on a second. Swan's in here on a speedboat.
A new breakfast on Hits Radio this week in 2019 with Fleur, Greg and James. No one forgets the day their station went on air. And if you were involved in Metro this week in 1974, You'll remember this day like yesterday.
It is 6 a.m. on Monday, the 15th of July, 1974. This is Bruce Lewis saying welcome to Metropolitan Broadcasting. We are now going on the air for the very first time, bringing independent radio to you who live in the Tyne and Wear areas. At this moment, you are witnessing the birth of a new radio station. On behalf of our chairman, Sir John Hunter, and all our team at Metro Radio, I would like to say that we are going to make it our job to bring you the best possible radio, providing music, entertainment, news, sport, comedy, and drama. This, above all, will be your radio station, and our aim will always be to please you, our listener.
You and next door neighbor in the Northeast, 261.
Hello to Metro, this week 46 years ago. But the hint of a goodbye this week 8 years ago, as Chris Moyles made this announcement.
I started this radio show in the morning back in January 2004, and it was my dream job. It's the one I'd wanted since I was a child, the coveted Radio 1 breakfast show. Now, I know some kids want to be a professional footballer or a fireman, but not me. I'm a geek, and I wanted to be on the radio, and I wanted the biggest radio show that you could get, and eventually, I got it. And for the last 8.5 years, I've had the best time of my life, and I've got to share it with a small group of friends and 8 million strangers every morning for 3.5 hours a day. When I started, I wanted to do the show for 10 years and everybody thought I was nuts. And some mornings it did feel like we wouldn't even make it till 10 o'clock that day, but we always did. The weird thing about doing this job is that almost since day one, there's been speculation about how long it would last. Rumours that the bosses wanted me out, front page stories in the newspaper saying I'm going to be fired before the end of the year, printed whispers of my successor and when they would take over, all of that. And throughout all of it, the one thing that's remained constant was me and the team coming into work every day, doing the show, making the audience laugh, and the bosses at Radio 1 were happy. So I find myself at a time when actually nobody is looking my way. It's all gone quiet. There aren't any rumours about me being fired. It's like people have got bored with making stuff up and distracted by the rain and the Olympics. So I'm going to say it. Not the papers or Twitter. Me. We're going to leave the breakfast show.
Almost the royal we then, isn't it? Chris announcing his farewell this week in 2012. So with Mansfield 103.2 being jammed by Ivor Biggin 3 years ago.
That's the latest.
Gwyneth Williams appointed controller of Radio 4 and Radio 7 10 years ago.
It's essential that the BBC recognises, and I know it does, the historic a treasure of Radio 4 in its midst.
Beacon extending to Shropshire 33 years ago.
These transmissions are in preparation for the new independent local radio service for Shrewsbury and Telford, which will be provided by the IBA's contractor, Beacon Broadcasting Limited.
And the launch of Radio Pembrokeshire 18 years ago.
From this moment on, 102.5 Radio Pembrokeshire will be with you every hour, every day, across all of our county.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David Lloyd, and to our other regular contributor, Roy Martin, and to my guests this week, Ian Lee and Kath Boyle. Good luck to them with their new project on Twitch.tv. We'll talk to you next week for more industry news.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassar.